SpaceX and Falcon 9 are riding high. What does it mean for the rest of the industry? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature and the third and final segment of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's Friday press conference following the successful first launch of the Falcon 9. Thanks for downloading us today. In a moment, we'll hear a look ahead to manned applications for the Dragon spacecraft. But first, last Friday's successful first launch of the Falcon 9 rocket is obviously a big milestone for the company. What does it mean for the private space exploration industry in general?
And our next question comes from William Hennigan from the Los Angeles Times. Please state your question.
Hey, Elon, congratulations.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, talking to folks out here in Mojave and around the state, this is a pivotal moment for them. So I wanted to ask you, and you had touched on it before, what does a successful launch of Falcon 9 say about the commercial space industry? How do you see that going forward?
Well, I think it should give a huge boost of confidence in the commercial space industry, both for SpaceX and for other companies that aspire to develop commercial vehicles. Yeah, I think it's a huge boost of confidence, really, and it bodes very well for the future of commercial spaceflight. I think this is we're really at the dawn of a new era. You had the sort of Apollo era, the sort of space shuttle era, and those were obviously government eras, and the government will continue to play a significant role in the future. But I think what you're really seeing is the rise of commercial as well, in many ways in partnership with government. I don't think we could have gotten this far without NASA. But it's definitely I think this is the this heralds the point at which a space becomes a combined commercial and government endeavor, and with commercial assuming an increasingly significant role.
Glad you brought that up. NASA issued a statement. Charlie Bolden issued a statement. Congratulating you. Of course, I wanted to know had anybody from the administration reached out and congratulated you as well.
Yeah, we've received many calls. I think my email box has gone bonkers, and my phone's been ringing off the hook. We received a call from Bill Nelson. He was very excited, and I'm sure we'll receive a call from a number of other key people on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Dale Leatherwood from the Space Future Journal. Please state your question.
Thank you. I was just absolutely delighted to watch the program today and congratulate you on your launch on something that's just almost phenomenal. That to do this on the first try is just incredible. And I wonder if this, and I think you've answered this in a couple of different ways already, that this represents a huge sea change between the relationships between NASA and private industry. Could you comment on that?
I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I think this is the dawn of a new era in space exploration. I think a very exciting era, and one which I think will lead to the democratization of space, making space accessible to everyone eventually. And I think this is really an historic moment.
Ken Kramer from the Planetary Society, please state your question.
Hello, Elon. Thank you. Congratulations, first of all. You've talked about developing a manned vehicle in 3 years. It's very aggressive. I wonder if you could tell us the status of your design and development of that vehicle. When would you start constructing it?
The reason we can do it so quickly is because we've actually designed Falcon 9 and Dragon to be to carry people from the beginning. And so we've designed it to all of the NASA published human rating standards, and we don't expect that there'd be really any significant change to those human rating standards. And those standards, incidentally, are considerably more stringent than the standards that the space shuttle has been designed to. For example, the space shuttle does not have an escape system, but our vehicle will have an escape system. But it's got all of the failure tolerance requirements in Falcon 9 and Dragon that NASA requires, and frankly we would require as well, even in the absence of NASA. And it's even got things like Windows. You don't need Windows for cargo. Really, the significant development item is that escape system, the launch escape system, and I think we've got a very exciting architecture, a new architecture that hasn't been done before for the launch escape system, which is to build the launch escape engines into the sidewall of the capsule. So instead of having this sort of tractor tower that gets discarded about halfway through launch, you have these built-in escape engines that are always with you all the way through orbit. So you have launch escape for a much longer period of time through the entire flight, as opposed to half or less than half the flight. You also don't have to worry about discarding the launch escape tower on every mission, as you do in the for example in the Ares Orion approach, or historically with the Apollo program and the way the Russians and Chinese do it. And certainly a way to do it, but it requires a successful separation of the escape system on every flight, even a flight that goes perfectly. And then the other advantage of having the escape engines built into the Dragon spacecraft is that we can then in the future land propulsively using those same engines on land, and just as the Eagle landed on the moon. I think that's sort of really the right way to land a spaceship. And that's what we intend to do.
Hey, but what about all the environmental systems that you need to support humans versus cargo?
Oh, well, first of all, it's important to appreciate that the cargo that we'll be carrying is, in a lot of cases, biological cargo. So we'll be carrying plants and small animals to the space station, and that's one of the requirements, and including there and back. So obviously we can't do anything that would kill plants and animals, and humans are a big animal, basically. So as far as the temperature actually has to be controlled very precisely, because some of these experiments have a much less tolerant of temperature changes than people are. We have to control moisture in the spacecraft. We have to replenish gas if there's a leak, So really, adding people from a life support system standpoint means just increasing the ability to convert carbon dioxide back to oxygen, increasing how much moisture absorption there is, because people sweat a lot. and of course, you need to do seats and restraints. These things are not, these are relatively minor. The critical path item is development of and testing of the launch escape system.
Finally, where would you launch it from? Would you launch from your pad or Complex 39 and construct it in the VAB, or what's the plan, please? Thank you.
We would expect to continue to launch from Pad 40 at Cape Canaveral for the astronaut transport missions. Depending upon what kind of flight rate there is, it may make sense to establish a second operating launch pad on the Cape Kennedy side. However, where I think the shuttle pads are really the best use of the shuttle pads, I think, is for a super heavy lift vehicle, and for sort of planetary missions, because those pads are sized for very high thrust. So it would almost be a shame to put a vehicle like Falcon 9. Even though Falcon 9 is a pretty big vehicle, it's still not nearly as big as something like a Saturn V or a shuttle. I'd advocate reserving those shuttle pads for the super heavy lift programs, and we're actually in discussions with NASA on a potential super heavy lift vehicle development. This would be sort of a joint public-private partnership in that development, and I think based on initial discussions, NASA seems reasonably excited by the idea, and we're hopeful that it proceeds to fruition.
In a moment, the Dragon spacecraft could be put to work by NASA, or maybe by other customers. I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to the special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. We're listening today to the conclusion of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's Friday press conference following the successful first launch of the Falcon 9. SpaceX has already sunk significant resources into making its Dragon cargo capsule double as a potential platform for manned missions. But NASA might not be the only potential customer.
Irene Klotz from Reuters, please state your question.
Thanks very much. Hi, Elon. You said that the upgrading Dragon for people with a launch escape system is like 2 to 3 years with NASA funding, but how long would it take if that money isn't forthcoming from the government or if another company is selected by NASA for station crew transportation?
If NASA, for whatever reason, doesn't select SpaceX for crew transport, then we'd have to find another customer for that crew transport activity. That could be somebody like a Bob Bigelow or Space Adventures. Those are the people that have organized the Soyuz flights. So we'd have to talk with them, figure out what kind of experience customers are looking for, and it may require having a space station there because some sort of private space station in that scenario. So it would definitely take longer because we'd have to self-fund the development of the launch escape system, and we'd have to convince potential customers on the private side or maybe other governments that also want to send up astronauts. So I think it would double that time frame. So maybe it's sort of 6 years instead of 3 years.
Thanks very much. And getting back to today, how many people were there in the launch, center?
We had about 150 people, about 150 SpaceX people here. And then of course there's hundreds of Air Force personnel, NASA personnel, and several hundred support contractors on the range. I mean, I think in terms of the number of people that were actually involved in the launch today, outside of SpaceX, it's probably a few thousand. But SpaceX is somewhere, a little over 150.
Thanks very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And our final question comes from Muhammad El Hassan from the Daily Breeze. Please state your question.
Hi, Elon. Congratulations. What will today's success mean for your Hawthorne headquarters and the number of employees there and any possible expansion? Last I heard, you had about 700 employees, most of them in Hawthorne.
So right now, SpaceX in total has a little over 1,000 employees.
Okay.
And we've got, sort of around 150 here at the Cape. We've got a couple hundred now in Texas, and then sort of 700 or so that are in California, in sort of the Hawthorne area. We've actually spread out to a bunch of additional buildings in the Hawthorne area, adjacent buildings, and we expect to continue to grow rapidly, and probably be. Growing at a sort of annualized rate of about 50%. So maybe we go from 1,000 to maybe 1,200 to 1,300 people by the end of the year. And then I suspect we'll probably be 1,800 people plus by the end of next year. We're growing very rapidly, particularly, I should say, our biggest percentage growth is actually in Texas and in Florida. Because as we're ramping up our launch rate, as we're ramping up our production rate of our engines, our engines will you know, tested and developed in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor back over to Elon Musk for any closing remarks.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been a really exciting day, and thanks for writing about us. And there'll be no doubt many interesting stories and exciting ups and downs in the future. I look forward to speaking with everyone again.
Last Friday was a remarkable day in a number of ways. The success of Falcon 9 and Dragon will turn increased attention to the next Falcon launch, which is likely this summer. It will also have an impact on the political debate surrounding the Obama administration's proposed fiscal 2011 federal budget, in which proponents of what's coming to be known as the old NASA will now carry decidedly less ammunition in shooting it down. But a side benefit of what happened here should not be overlooked. At least for a while, there will be a new reason for the rest of us to gather every so often along the Brevard County coastline and look to the sky with anticipation and excitement. The first two parts of this press conference are still available for download in the Aero News special features for June 8th and 9th. Find them in our archives. These programs have been edited for time and to eliminate gaps. Elon Musk is the CEO and Chief Technology Officer of Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX. Find out more at SpaceX.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.